Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Well, that just about says it all. Hey, everybody, it is Tuesday night. It is time for the scoreboard. Y'all know what we do on Tuesday right around 8 p.m. Eastern. We talk that talk on all things sports here on the Scoreboard Sports Show. We are your radio tailgate party. Once again, my name is Tony, and the guys are going to be joining me momentarily. Y'all know how Jazz be doing, her sister, trying to get up all in a close spot up to the clubhouse. But he know I already took that spot, so he's going to have to search. Once again, you're listening to the Scoreboard. Now, Nene Capri just opened up our show. For those that don't know, she is over there pinning part 5 to the Pussy Trap series. Man, it's going to be some happy trappers when she drops that joint. I actually saw Miss Capri this weekend, and she's been busy. She's working, y'all. She got that pin twerking. Now, we don't have an exact release date, but y'all know how Nene does. She does a Beyonce. She just drops it. We wake up or we may be up in the middle of the night, and we got a new Capri book in our library. And speaking of libraries, you know, she has Nene Capri Presents, and she has some awesome authors under that brand. She has her own, the Pussy Trap series, and as well as that, the Trust No Bitch series that she actually co-wrote with the one and only Cash, Street Lit Author, and he's over there pinning some stuff too, I was told, this weekend. And she has Dream Reavers. Her latest joint is Diamonds, Pumps, and Glock. She wrote, co-wrote that with the beautiful author is Black. That's some heat that y'all need to get into your library. Now, she has some authors under her brand, The Wrath by Rance McNeil and Sinful Lust by Imani Hilton. And don't forget that Devious Deception by S. Chameleon. So make sure you pick those hot, hot releases up. Put them into your library. I think I've read every last one of them, not only once, but quite a few times. So make sure you pick those up. And I also like to shout out our sponsors to the Scoreboard. We have the Brit Network, 1K Media Group, and Media Vision 848. Nene's Baby, the Iron Throne Magazine, and Fleet DJs of the ATL, and my one and only baby, Book Right Editing, by yours truly, Miss Tony. Jazz, I see you found the spot, got your seat all adjusted. I don't know what's in that cup, but how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. What's going on, man? I heard you was in Atlanta this week.
Yes, and you just blew a sister off, but that's okay.
I didn't blow you. I didn't blow you off, man. I had to pay the bills for the weekend, man. No, nah, don't be like
Let
that.
Let me tell y'all. First of all, he forgot I was coming.
I did. Not very good. My memory is not very good. So, yeah, I that did happen, people. But, yeah, she is factual.
You know, yeah, they say that mine is the first thing to go. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, it's already going, so, you know, you're right.
It's already going, Jazz.
It's already going, man. It's downhill, man. I'm just hoping that I can get some checks on the back end.
He's hoping, guys. He's hoping. So, Jazz, talk to me. I know Saturday, I didn't want to disturb you because Saturday was a big night that you told us about last Tuesday. So, give us the result of what was it? Was it what you thought it was going to? Was the outcome what you expected?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, Keith Thurman. Beat Danny Garcia by decision. The fight was a pretty technical fight. Wasn't a lot of heavy blows landed. Most of the heavy blows were landed by Thurman, but on my card, I had Thurman winning 9-3. It was a split decision, so there was some controversy because one judge had Garcia winning the fight by 2 rounds, so The two of the three cars is really close. The one car was 116-110, but Thurman did win the fight, and they didn't take it from him. He did win the fight, and right now he is slated to fight the winner of the He's slated to fight. I forgot. I had to tell y'all later on this year because they're gonna fight. And then if you watch the broadcast, my man, Erickson Lubin won by knockout over Jorge Cota. The knockout was devastating. You go on YouTube and see it. It was devastating. It's like dude just dropped like a can. So then in UFC, Tyrone Woodley won by decision over Stephen Thompson. And for people who are familiar with UFC, Rashard Evans had his first fight at middleweight because he was a lifelong welterweight. He had his first fight at middleweight, and he lost that fight to he lost his middleweight debut. And
was it
It was 2-1. The rounds were 2-1. He lost by a round. He looked all right. He didn't look like, you know, Rashard Evans is a little older now, so he didn't have that pop in his punches. And dude just pretty much, you know, and for every time Rashard Evans tried to mount some offense, you know, my man had an answer for him. So he didn't. I don't know if he's going to be comfortable at middleweight, or he can't fight. He can't make welterweight no more. So I'm not sure where he goes from this. I'm pretty sure he's going to stay in middleweight, but I don't know at this point if he can stay in that weight and be successful. So we'll have to wait and see on that and see what his handlers have decided. And Alistair Overeem beat Mark Hunt. The reason why I mention that is because at this point, I think that Mr. Hunt should retire. And he didn't look good in that fight. He got knocked out.
Really?
He didn't look good. And I think at this point, he needs to retire. So that's the reason why I mentioned Mark Hunt on this broadcast. So other than that, everything was good. What's going on with you?
So if you're listening to Mr. Hunt, you heard what the man said. It's time to put yourself
well,
to pasture.
Before you ask me, yes, I heard that, you know, I've heard reports that Floyd Mayweather is saying that, you know, if, you know, McGregor is the man and he a boss, he'll sign the deal and make the fight, la, 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 la. At the end of the day.
I'm just saying, did not say that, Jazz, but.
Dude, at the end of the day, Conor McGregor that needs the fight. Look, Conor McGregor doesn't need to fight Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather needs to fight Conor McGregor. McGregor doesn't need that fight. There's nothing for him to gain from that fight. So Floyd's still talking. You know, they say his car got fire in Britain. I think that's the setup, too. I don't know. I think he just
A few things have been happening with his car lately.
Yeah. You know, the car, the break-in to the house. And, I mean, he needs to get his life in order. He needs some better people to hang out with because, you know, that's all about the circle. But, you know, I think that he should, you know, maybe concentrate on maybe promoting some fights and all of that because, I mean, the Conor McGregor thing is not going to happen. So for everybody who was in arms about that, it's not going to happen. Sorry.
I'm
sorry,
saying
people.
This again, Jazz. I said it a couple of shows ago. It's happening.
It's not going to happen.
I know you're the expert on the show. You're the,
it's not gonna
you're
happen,
the boxing
man.
Expert. You're the one with the gloves on, but you know,
it's
you have told
happen.
Me no a few times, and it
it's not
turned
happen.
Out to be.
You're
yes.
right. But no, it's not going. It's too many. It's too many moving pieces for this to happen. You have to get Dana White on board. You have to get sanctioning from. You would have to get organization to sanction the bout. You would have to figure out what weight is going to be at. It's too many moving parts. Not enough money in it. Not enough money in that fight.
We got to leave this to be determined. Between me and Jazz, let's see who wins this round.
Okay, not a problem.
I got to start keeping track of the rounds that we win, Jazz. I think I'm up 50 to nothing.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. The Knicks won this weekend, too, of course.
This will be 51.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. You heard it here first, people.
Well, so, I see our stat guru, Mr. Louis Mack, is in the queue. He may want to weigh in on this. Louis, you want to weigh in on this pressure one and assist that bring you on in?
Well, I think Louis has some fast lane results for us from this weekend with the WWE this weekend. They had an event, and because we cover all things sports, I think Louis Mack has a report on that. By the way,
look at you tagging the subtitles.
I try, you know. I'm catching on.
Kudos, Jazz. Kudos. That sounded good. Say it again. Since we do what?
Okay, I can't say it again. You know, that was on the fly. I can't say it again. That wasn't written down. I can't say that.
You funny. You know that. Hey, Louie, how you doing? You see Jazz acting
up
in the clubhouse?
I see this. For a second, he's a company man, and then all of a sudden, he turns heel on us, and it just shuts down.
What's happening, baby? What's going on, man? What's going
hey,
on?
Nothing much. You want the recap from Fastlane? The WWE.
Yes, absolutely. Again, we cover all things sports, so yes. What's
dude,
the recap
the
on Fastlane?
Yeah, booking the people who write and book. And the creative part of the WWE is garbage. G-R-A-B-A-G-E.
Wow.
Garbage.
Wow. Ooh. Now, how so? Why do you come to
that conclusion? Okay, we have Old Man Goldberg wins what is essentially the World Heavyweight title. It's called the Universal title now, which is a dumb name to begin with. But it's essentially like the top title in the WWE. Old Man Goldberg squashes an up-and-coming, like, huge with the fan, like he's a fan favorite. Everybody loves him. He does no wrong. He's a great in-ring worker, great on the mic. Goldberg squashes him in 24 seconds to end the pay-per-view.
Wow.
To set up a Goldberg-Brock Lesnar WrestleMania for the title crap match that none of us want to see.
Okay.
So you on the UFC side can take Brock Lesnar back at any moment, sir. Like you can have him. We don't want him.
He good. He good where he at, man. He making millions. He good where he at. You can't fake that.
So I was real excited because we had a pay-per-view on Sunday. I was going to get to talk a little bit of wrestling, and then it was garbage. So, you know what? I'm really depressed kind of thinking about it. Can we just, like, move on? Like, to making fun of the Knicks or something?
are we going to? Don't worry about it. We're going to.
Hold on.
But, okay.
Miss Tony, I have a stat for you.
Uh-oh. What is it? Already. Go ahead, Mr. Statman. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo has as many Super Bowl rings as Eli Manning. So Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. Just letting it out there.
I like that stat.
See, you going in
on
my G-men already, Louie?
We're going to hold on to that one. I like that. We might bring that up later on in the show.
Of course you do, Jazz.
I've been holding on to that stat since Wednesday, guys. It's been killing me not to tweet it at her.
It's a fact. I mean, it's not our fault that the man has put the light on a fact that it's the truth. Come on.
Most people would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo
than Eli Manning. So he makes a good point.
Jimmy Garoppolo also has more Super Bowl rings than Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Let me just say that Jimmy Garoppolo, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, didn't get the rings himself. It was a team play.
Hey.
Okay, did he throw a ball in those rings that he's carrying on his fingers?
I don't know if they're on his toes as well. Wait.
I'm just saying.
Wait a minute.
You coming up in here messing with my G-man. People, we got a lot of Giant fans that follow the scoreboard.
Talk to me.
So what you're saying is the Giants organization themselves suck because they've only won two in how many years?
Wow.
Since it's a team effort? Just leaving it on Eli?
Since we're on a football subject, and since football seems to be a hot topic today, because we're going to get to basketball, but since football seems to be the hot topic today, I have a question for you guys. Where does Romo go? I mean, I know we talked about this last week, but now it's abundantly clear that he will get cut. There's no trade. He will get cut within the next couple of days.
Uh-huh.
So where do you think that he'll end up?
I think he'll end up with Houston. Or Denver.
Oh, Houston's a good one, too. I like Houston.
Houston already got a big contract with Oswald. Do you really want to bring in another guy?
I think they'll reconsider it.
He's not going to come cheap, though, because he has options. Denver, the Chiefs, he has options.
Kansas City's not moving on from Alex Smith. That's Andy Reid's boy right there. I don't see Romo supplanting Alex Smith in Kansas City.
Okay.
Denver to me is the most likely, because Paxton Lynch nor Trevor Siemian really showed much last year. I mean, they showed flashes, but nothing consistent. And that defense is still all world. That defense is still an elite defense, and.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, they would have been a much better team had they had consistent quarterback play. So I think Denver's a very nice spot. Who were we talking about last week, Jazz? Washington, if they move Kirk Cousins, that'd be an interesting move.
Well, considering Washington has no problem with paying him franchise money, they've already said that they'll franchise him again, and I don't know if Washington is, considering their GM is like, where's Waldo right now? So we have to touch that because he's like MIA, but I don't know if Washington is willing to trade Cousins. I mean, for what? I mean, what do you get in return?
The big rumor for Cousins is coming out to San Francisco. And if that's the case, then you're getting either the number two overall pick in this year's draft, or you're getting a slew of really good quality middle to late round picks out of the Niners.
I don't know. Well, let me ask you, since you're a Niners fan, what do you think? Because you're a Niners fan.
I would love it. I think him and Shanahan work good together. I think bringing in Cousins to be, especially if you can get him on that 1 year, see how, you know, he, you know, see if he can still fit in with Shanahan and see how Shanahan's going to handle him. The only thing I have a problem with the Niners right now is they just don't have weapons outside of Carlos Hyde. Their best receivers are always hurt. They just don't have any weapons. So you can bring in Kirk Cousins, you can bring in Tom Brady, you can bring in Eli Manning, you can bring in Aaron Rodgers, and they don't have anybody to throw to.
Well,
so
if you trade that many picks for him, you're not going to have anybody for him to throw to.
Well, and that, I'll say, well, that's the thing, is as a Niners fan, I would love to see Kirk Cousins come, but I would rather see Kirk Cousins not sign the franchise tender and Washington just let him go and then us be able to sign him. And the other part of Kirk Cousins that scares me is he's being franchise tagged by the Redskins. Do you know how much that franchise tag is for him this year?
How much?
$24 million. They're paying that man $24 million to have one more season to determine if they think he's the man or not. So that tells me two things. Either Kirk Cousins isn't the man and they know it, but they don't have any other options, so they're just going to keep him. Or Washington doesn't think they can compete anytime soon, and they need a stopgap quarterback for the next guy they draft.
Well, I will hope it's either. I will hope that it's just a question of getting him, because at this point, you don't have the, like everybody was saying about, can he do it again? Now, you should be at the point where either you're going to do him long-term, and maybe Kirk doesn't want to sign long-term, or, because I don't think you should be, I don't think that you should still, as an organization, I don't think that you should still be at the point of trying to make your mind up at this point. You should already know where you're going.
And I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. That's the part of it that scares me the most is, again, he had a good year last year. He had a great year the year before. And the organization is still up in the air whether or not they want to sign him long term. So it draws red flags and question marks. But is it a question mark of Kirk Cousins' skill, or is it a question mark of they're going to try to go to a San Francisco team and try to deal him for a plethora of picks and rebuild around a young quarterback that they drafted this year?
So what do you think, Ms. Tony?
I agree with Louie. I don't know much about what the franchise is going to be signed with him, but I'm still over here steaming about this Garoppolo drop.
Well, what's wrong? I mean, dude, eat that. Come on, man. Eat that. That's lunch for you.
I'm just dropping truth bombs. Just dropping truth bombs.
Oh, you dropping truth bombs. Oh, all right. I'm sitting over here doing
Come on, it's okay. It's okay, man.
Yes, don't you even go there.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's okay. I mean, you can't refute them. Facts are facts. So I mean, you know.
But you
come on, okay. I got a question for you to get you off.
To get you off of Eli.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where do you think Adrian Peterson will go? Do you think that you know? I mean, it's a valid question.
Oh geez.
Now, Miss Tony, where do you think he goes? We got to get out of the Eli.
You know,
her feelings still hurt.
I'm in my feelings, yes.
Yeah, you feel.
You know what? You feel my feelings.
I
well,
got
I can
you.
Tell you one place
well,
not
you know.
Going.
What's that?
Where?
New York.
No,
why do you say that?
I just don't see New York putting up the money for him. I just don't see New York putting up the money for him.
Yeah.
Well, because if he's not going to go to a Super Bowl contender, he's going to ask for big money. And I just don't see New York being a Super Bowl contender or giving up big money. So.
Okay. So what do you think, Miss Tony? What do you think? Do you agree?
I say New York.
Okay. Well, they did get rid of two running backs. So
they're making room
for something.
If not New York, then
Eli
maybe
Manning's inflated
the Cowboys.
Ego. I don't think Dallas is a good fit anymore because Ezekiel Elliott shows that he's good and that he can handle his business. I mean, the only thing that it would do for Dallas is just take some wear and tear off Ezekiel Elliott, but it doesn't help Adrian Peterson any.
I don't think Dallas has the cap room. I mean, right now they only got $3 million under the cap, and then if they cut Romo, they get another 15. But you got to incorporate draft picks and all of that into that money. So I don't think that Dallas has the money to even approach him, let alone actually talk to him. Seriously.
Yeah, it would take.
He also mentioned the Buccaneers. You know, that's another team that he mentioned and some interest in. What do you guys think of that?
I like Seattle more than that. A lot of people have been mentioning Seattle, and considering Rawls didn't really show up last year, you do have an opportunity for him to maybe take less and outshine Rawls, and then know that the team is capable with a running game of making noise in the playoffs. So Seattle kind of makes sense. I mean, I heard that late. It kind of makes sense, but with AP, you never know because, like you say, he'll go to. They were talking about the Patriots, but you know, even though Blunt's a free agent, you know, a pending free agent, I expect for him to stay in New England. So I don't see him going to New England. I just don't see that. And like I said, Saints, I think like Seattle in that. More so than the Bucs.
What about your team?
I've heard that, but I would much rather keep Murray than AP.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they
Do
need
you take
to, I think if McKin-
Murray over him?
Yeah, if McKenzie is smart, McKenzie would go ahead and pay Murray. And, you know, because they were saying that part of that is you have to sign Khalil Mack and Derek Carr early to retain them. I could understand that. But if I'm Derek Carr, I'm looking at McKenzie, I'm asking him, are you re-signing Murray? Because if you're not re-signing Murray, then we need to really talk. Because I'll take less because without a running game, I'm going to get butchered.
Mm-hmm.
I need a running game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need an old AP. I need a young Darius Murray. That's what I need. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Murray just isn't exciting, man. Like, he is so, I don't know. He's not.
Serviceable, though. Serviceable.
I guess. I don't know.
I guess
I'm still looking at, like, I kind of, like, when I hear football news like this, I immediately jump to, like, the fantasy world of it all. And Latavius Murray is just a really boring name, and it's just kind of like I guess I could use him as an RB2 or a flex this week if I had to. So, like, when I hear, like, AP getting teamed up with, you know, Derek Carr and AC/DC out there, I get excited, and I'm just like, woo. And then...
If it's the Raiders, then the problem you're going to have is that, remember, with a healthy Derek Carr, they pass. And they're probably going to pick up another receiver. So there's not like Adrian going to be getting 30 carries like he was in his prom.
I would much rather have Murray.
I'd much rather have Murray.
He can't handle 30 carries anymore. Like, he's going to have to go somewhere where he's not the focal point.
He's going to have to platoon. But then, you know, that's from processing.
There you go.
Okay. I have another team to throw out there that he may just want to do just to spite the Vikings. How about Green Bay?
Yes, that's where I was going.
Yeah, I've heard that. That makes the most sense. It makes sense. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you got James Starks.
And he'll probably take less money for that, too.
I mean, they still have Eddie Lacy on contract, so that gets a little bit weird. But Eddie Lacy's still on a rookie deal, so he's not expensive. But also remember that Green Bay's got to make a decision whether or not they're going to use that rookie first round rookie 50-year option on Lacy's
mm-hmm.
contract.
Absolutely.
So they either got to flex the option for this fifth year, or they get to let him walk after
mm-hmm.
this year. So
absolutely. And now you can't add another player to that mix if I'm Green Bay, because honestly, if Green Bay is going to go free agency, and they don't really do that often, if they're going to do that, then I would much rather go out and bring in a safety. I'd rather bring in. There's going to be a big market for Tony Jefferson over in Arizona. If I'm Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
I'm making a splash like that. I'm not bringing in AP.
I agree. I think if they do go free agency, it should be on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely.
But if AP comes to them and says, "I will pay for cheap. I will play for cheap because I think you guys give me the best chance of winning a Super Bowl."
Mm-hmm.
You can't pass it up, because the last couple of years have shown that Aaron Rodgers needs a running game to help take
Absolutely.
Some of that pressure off. Like.
Absolutely.
And no quarterback can throw the ball 80, 50, 60 times a game and win consistently and all the time.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If they can make it work, Green Bay's ideal, in my opinion, because that's really all they need offensively, is a good all-around running back who can play all three downs if they need him. But because they're not going to run him every time,
mm-hmm.
it lets him breathe. It lets him take plays off, basically. But honestly, when all said and done, I have this sinking feeling he's going to stay in Minnesota and he's just going to take a pay cut to do it.
Well, I said that last week, but when you got teams, like I said, Seattle is very attractive.
But
and
Seattle's another one of those teams that doesn't build through free agency. They draft their guys.
Yeah. They don't do that a lot.
And they've got a lot of cap space eaten up in the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right about that.
So,
yeah, you're right about that.
Because I think Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, and Cam Chancellor are on all big long-term
mm-hmm.
deals. Plus, Russell Wilson's, what, the second-highest-paid quarterback in the league?
Absolutely.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be, bro. You had to pay him. You had to pay him.
I guess, but I don't know.
Well, what do y'all think about Tampa Bay offering to make Mike Glennon the highest paid backup, but the Bears have said that they're willing to sign Glennon to a $17 to $18 million deal per year to be a starter in Chicago. If you're Mike Glennon, what do you do? And that's not the only team looking at Mike Glennon right now.
Oh, you go to Chicago.
You go to Chicago?
Oh, all day.
You're going to take a beating, though, bro.
That's fine. You're getting paid $18 million
to get
a starter in the NFL.
He's getting paid to take that beating.
and
you're
a starter,
But a starter for what? I mean, you don't know if they're going to retain Jeffries. What are you going to throw? Who are you going to throw it to? You got old boy who they drafted 2 years ago, who played two games in 2 years. Kevin White.
That's another fantasy heartbreak.
I mean, you got a running back, retreads at running back.
Oh, and no, you got
young
people.
I like
Jeremy Langford and Jordan Howard.
Well, I don't think Langford's going to be there too much longer, though. I don't think Langford's going to be there.
He's only in his second year. Or his third year now.
He's
still on a cheap rookie deal. Why cut him?
He's on a cheap rookie deal, yes. And I know that's Leisha. I know that's Leisha guy. You know what I'm saying? I hope he's still there. But, when you don't perform and by the third year, they're looking at you sideways.
But then you also have So if Jeremy Langford doesn't hold up, you still have Jordan Howard, who was a rookie last year, who did actually pretty well when he started.
I give you that. So, yeah, I mean, but you're not throwing to him. You hand it off to him. That's who you're throwing it to.
That's fine. He can be a pass catcher if you need him to, but, I mean,
you let Bennett walk. Bennett goes to New England, gets a ring, and then Bennett. Where does he go? Because he's going to be a free agent. I already said not re-signing with New England.
I heard Oakland,
a couple other teams. I kind of like the Oakland thing. We need a tight end, pass catching tight end,
hey,
so that makes sense.
You need a tight end badly.
Yeah, so I mean that makes sense.
Okay,
so we'll see how that goes.
If you were the GM, Jazz, what would your team be? Who would be on that team?
What do you mean?
If you were the GM and you had your options, who would be out on the field? I don't know because
It all depends on contracts. I mean, if I got to pay Khalil Mack, if I got to pay him Von Miller money, then that restricts my free agent moves. If I got to give Derek Carr, if I got to give Derek Carr Romo money, that affects my free agent. See, so this year is going to be really intriguing to find out how much money is going to be left over after you sign, after you re-sign your free agents. Giants did it last year. They made out really well in free agency. But remember, all of them guys that they signed last year that everybody is loving right now, 2 years from now, are going to be salary cap. They're going to be salary cap rocks because they all got big deals. And they backloaded the deal. So 2 years from now, if them guys are not performing up to the contracts, then the Giants are going to be stuck. You're going to do what San Diego did today when they cut Brandon Flowers, DJ Fluker, and Stevie Johnson because their contracts was too high for the cap, and they had to get rid of them to get under the cap. That's the Giants in 2 years.
Well, that's kind of where they are now because they don't have that kind of money to spend on the O-line, which is what they need. You know, they had a ton of money they spent on the defensive end last season.
Absolutely.
And they don't have that this season. And that's
one
of the areas
where
they need to improve.
I just want to say before the broadcast is over, I hate changing subjects, but because I'm a Golden State guy, I was kind of happy today. Today was a good day. I hate to have ill will towards a player getting injured, but when Bogey broke his leg.
So tell him why you're happy.
Don't say it.
Well,
don't bring that bad juju to the show. Do not bring that bad juju to the show.
Okay.
Don't you put that juju on me, Ricky Bobby.
Louis said don't bring it in, so I'm not going to bring it in. But for people who know, y'all know why I'm kind of, I'm not as worried this week as I was last week.
Because Andrew Brogan broke his leg. This man.
I am not wishing bad on anybody.
Seconds.
Yes.
Uniform.
1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute.
Not even a full minute.
I didn't see the game. I wish I saw the game. But the fact that after it happened, and they said LeBron James, like, I just feel so deflated right now. Like, yo, I mean,
Do you know how much he made in that 58 seconds?
Oh, probably a couple million dollars.
Oh,
23.2 million to be exact.
Hey,
what?
The person who made off like a bandit this trade deadline is Jose Calderon.
Yeah, Calderon. Well, now, where did he end up? Because I know Golden State signed him. Well, I know Golden State signed him, but then when they picked up Matt Barnes, they said that they was going to pay Calderon for the year.
Yeah.
And, so he's getting two checks.
I think he got signed by the Hawks.
That mean, I like Jose Calderon. I like him. I like Calderon. Used to play for the Knicks. I like Calderon.
And Dallas.
But,
why does that not sound
every other team.
And Toronto and, you know, a few other teams.
Why does that not sound so sincere, Jazz?
He did play for the Knicks.
I know.
If I'm not mistaken.
But you like him because he played for the Knicks. I'm just saying, that just sounds a little suspect.
No, I like him because when he played with Toronto, he beasted. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it just so happens he got to the Knicks and regressed a little bit. But that, you know, I digress.
Everybody goes to New York and regresses. It's okay.
You know, I mean, you know.
You know, Louis, you pushing the button tonight.
Alex Rodriguez, Victor.
Oh, man.
Victor Cruz is not the best.
It's New York. It's
Ryan
New York. Kent. It's New York.
I mean,
it's okay. It's New York.
Just
Darren
for the
Williams,
record,
Kevin Garnett,
Jose
Paul
Calderon
Pierce.
Is with the Hawks. He's playing with the Hawks
Carmelo
right
Anthony.
Now, as of today, anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amari Stoudemire.
So let's look at this.
Going.
The LeBron James lobbied. Instead of getting Chalmers or Norris Cole, who actually plays for the Heat, and he actually, Norris Cole plays for the Thunder, backing up Russell Westbrook. Chalmers, he decides, because he is the GM, he decides, he picks Darren Williams. Out of all the other point guards that were available, he picks Darren Williams, who right now, he is playing horribly right now.
You know why?
And then,
I didn't expect anything more.
What do you mean didn't expect it? It's Darren Williams. I mean, don't get me wrong.
He hasn't been the same since
he hasn't played.
Well, and then you wonder why.
He missed the game winner.
Well, at least he took the shot.
I mean, that's more than LeBron can say. He passed it up.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure.
So.
But, okay.
Said,
he always said what?
Up until a couple of years ago, you could say that LeBron James would be a great hockey player because they only play three quarters.
Yeah, true indeed. Wow.
But,
He's a fourth quarter. I gotta give it to him. He beats in the fourth quarter now.
Up until that playoff series with Boston before he left Cleveland.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. But after that playoff series, he. Anyway, back to the original point before I sidetracked.
Well,
the reason you don't want Norris Cole or Mario Chalmers is because they're not playmakers. They're spot up three shooters. And defensive specialist. So that doesn't help you. That doesn't help what LeBron and Kyrie need. Kyrie Irving and LeBron don't need another spot-up three shooter or a defensive specialist. They already have that in J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert when they're healthy. They needed a backup playmaker, which was Darren Williams' calling card until he got sent to Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
And it was never the same player.
That was terrible. That was terrible. I remember them years. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it was terrible. So, yeah, I mean, I can go with you. I just thought that there were – and I was, you know, I got to admit, that part of it, I didn't really know. So, thank you for clearing that up because I didn't really understand why they picked Darren Williams over, like I said, Chalmers and Noel, you know, Cole because – they play with LeBron. They understand,
But that's what I'm saying is go look at their time in Miami together. When Chalmers was on the court, Dwayne Wade and LeBron handled the ball, the point position, and Chalmers played more like a two guard.
Okay.
And Norris Cole the same way. He didn't really handle too much of the play calling and the ball handling. He was more of a off the ball point guard who got open, things like that. So.
Okay.
It doesn't help their playmaking needs. Darren Williams is a guy who can hopefully still run an offense.
Well, is there any new news? Is KD supposed to be back before playoffs start?
I the only thing I've heard is indefinite, so I have no idea.
Damn it. Well, in that case, then my next question is, since we're still in the NBA, and you listen to the scoreboard with Miss Tony, Mr. Jazz, and Mr. Louis Mack.
Pay them bills, brother. Pay them bills.
I'm trying, baby. I'm trying to get better at it, you know. So, as far as Isaiah Thomas, did you agree or disagree with his statement yesterday?
I think I might have missed it. What did he say?
Well, he basically said that they were playing the Clippers, and I watched that game. And in the fourth quarter, you know, the coach of Boston took Isaiah Thomas out. They were up. He took him out, and they ended up losing the game. The big part of that was he had Crowder guarding what's my man from the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan. Jordan was just eating them alive. Oh my God! And dude from the Boston, he just left Crowder in there, and every time down they would just keep pumping it into Jordan, and Jordan would just be eating his lunch all night until he finally took Crowder out. So after the game, they lost the game. So after the game, Isaiah Thomas basically said that we in game 63 of the season. This is not the time to be experimenting with different lineups and all that. You know what I mean? We need to win games. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to be experimenting. We need to win games. So as a star player with the media around him, do you make that statement this late in the season?
The player making a statement or the coach making a statement?
Well, Isaiah Thomas made that statement.
To the media.
So, of course, the media ran with it.
My initial reaction is hell yeah. It's hell yeah. Isaiah Thomas needs to man up. He needs to say something. He needs to be the leader of the team. He's been talking a lot of smack back and forth with different players in the league. He's been, he's been mouthing off that, he's MVP. He's this, he's that. He needs, this is a moment for him to step up and be like, hey, this is, but my other reaction is I love Brad Stevens. I think he's a great coach. I loved him in Butler. I'm really glad to see him succeeding in the NBA. The dude's a brilliant guy, and he's going to tweak things and try to figure out a way to best suit his team.
Okay.
Obviously, it wasn't working, so he should have went back to – because Jay Crowder is like 6'9", I think, and DeAndre Jordan's 7 foot.
Yeah.
And can jump out the roof. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, I mean – As much as you would love for that to work, you got to admit as a coach, hey, I did wrong. I got to call a timeout and get my guys back in there. I got to figure out something to, slow down, Jordan, or, I'm going to, we're not going to have a chance to make a run at it. So, kudos to him for being, bold and trying to make something happen. But you got to, I think more of what Isaiah was saying was, hey, coach, you got to admit your mistakes that what you tried failed and put us back in a situation to win. And kudos to Isaiah Thomas for, stepping up and saying something. It's always sketchy, though, going to the media. Sometimes you'd rather be done behind closed doors in the locker room. But I think in today's league, you got so many egos that, that's not going to happen anymore. So I guess I don't really think about it, because the first thing any of them do is go to the media and start crying.
Absolutely. So what do you think, Miss Tony?
Well, I mean, Isaiah touts himself as the best player in the league, but he is the leading player in the league as far as fourth quarter play. And they were winning up until, the last 15 minutes of the game. They had a shot that the last 15 minutes of the game is what lost it. But if you see your team slipping away, you got to adjust. You got to adjust on the fly. And if you see it's not working, you call that timeout and you make adjustments. A winning coach makes adjustments on the fly in any sport across the board.
Absolutely.
Like Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
Phil Jackson is not a coach. He is a GM. He is not coaching the Knicks. He is the Knicks GM.
He's another sports figure that got sent to New York and has crumbled.
Wow.
I think New York is just poisonous.
Wow.
I'm just gonna say this. It is not poisonous
wow.
to play here in New York. People wow. come here and they do what they do, and it's not necessarily best for the team, which is what Phil Jackson is doing.
They didn't make
now,
a lot of money.
When he first came to New York, everyone was excited because of his rings as a coach. This is his first year as a GM on the executive side, and it is not going the way New York fans expected. And it's not the first time a coach has become a GM and it's not what they do. It's not what they brought to the table. So, yes,
okay,
he is not doing what we wanted him to do, but don't say that he is the coach on the Knicks that's making these bad moves. I take offense
okay.
to that.
So, Ms. Tony, okay, so let me ask you this. Phil, Magic, who you want running your team?
If I had a choice, I would take Magic.
Yes.
Because he has
Why?
The ear to the ground. Because they're two totally different men. Two totally different men. Magic had a plan. This is something that he took off running with, and what he's done thus far is way more than what Phil Jackson has done. Phil Jackson has been in this job for 3 years. He still has 2 years on his contract, and the biggest move that he's made was drafting Porzingis in 3 years, and that's what you have to show for it. We have a losing record since Phil has been in office, as you say.
And Phil's been
back.
You've had a losing record for 20 years.
It's not the player's fault.
So it's okay.
Well, the only thing the Magic done so far is trade away their leading scorer, and they're tanking games. So it's not like Magic came in on a winning streak. So are you saying that you have more faith in Magic? So you saying you have more faith in Magic?
I have more faith in the team that Magic has around him, as far as the executive team.
I think, and the
you
other
know, we
thing
have
is,
Dolan.
I think Ms. Tony was onto something. Is they're two different men. They're two different styles, and I don't think Phil Jackson's style works unless you've got a fierce. I'm the alpha male. You do as I say, or you're not going to be on my team anymore. Type of person beside him. I mean,
okay.
Think about it. When he was a successful coach, he had MJ, who all the stories and the reports say that you did it MJ's way, you didn't play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You had Kobe in his prime, and everybody said that he was the same way as MJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kobe ran off Shaq. Kobe ran off Andrew
mm-hmm.
Bynum. MJ's probably, you know, there's probably not as many stories of MJ running off people, but, you know, I'm sure it happened. And Phil Jackson got to kind of say, MJ and Kobe, this is how we do business. Now go make it
yeah.
happen. But
no,
you don't get to
man.
Do that as a GM anymore. You don't have that bulldog who can fight for you anymore. You got to do the fighting yourself. And I don't know if he's got the mentality to fight for himself, which is why he's not succeeding. But Magic Johnson's going to be that guy who's going to be in with the players and in with the coaches and in all the meetings, and he's going to say, hey, this is not Laker basketball. Fix your shit or you're not going to be a Laker anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like Magic's going to bring in and say, wearing the purple and gold means something. So if you're not going to play like it means something, we don't want you here. And, you know, you
okay.
let me know if you don't want to play like it means something, and we'll get you out of town. Don't worry about it.
Well, you got to respect him. You respect him. You know, I don't know if you – I mean, I don't know, you know, much about Phil. I don't know much about the New York Knicks, Phil. I've heard about legend about Phil the coach. But, you know, I know that part of bringing Phil in was to bring back that mystique of, you know, those championships.
11 championships.
Teams with him and Willis Reed, part of those teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
right. I just want to – what GM you know, he doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't talk – he doesn't relate anything about what's going on behind the scenes, why he's making certain moves or why he's not making certain moves. The only correspondence we get from Phil is a tweet. How can you be a GM when you have ostracized your star player? You know, you send out these cryptic tweets, and then you say, oh, they may not have understood what I said. Don't tweet. Speak.
So he's trumping us.
He'll get on the tweet in a heartbeat. You know, he's not. What other GM is tweeting? Seriously?
He doesn't talk to the media. But that's what I'm saying.
And that's why I say it's two different styles between him and Magic.
Phil Jackson's used to being the brains of the operation and having somebody be the enforcer. And now he doesn't have anybody to be the enforcer.
He doesn't have
an MJ or a Kobe or a Shaq or whoever to get in people's grill and make them follow the Phil Jackson way.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have anybody in the front office who can pull Carmelo. He doesn't have a coach. He doesn't have a front office person or an owner who's going to step up to Carmelo and say, get your shit together or you're not going to be a Knick anymore. Like, you wanted to come here all those years ago. Now act like it. You don't have anybody getting in Derrick Rose's face saying, you chose to come to us. Now play like you're a Knick or we're going to send you home for good.
But to their defense, Phil kept them there, paid Derrick Rose, Carmelo, paid them both a lot of money, and Noah and all of them guys, paid them guys a lot of money. And you're trying to cram them into a system that doesn't fit their talent. If you knew when you came in you wanted to run a triangle, then go get triangle players. Don't get these players, because these players do not fit the triangle.
There's not any triangle players anymore. As bad as that sounds, there's not scheme players anymore. There's pick and roll, one-on-one ISO, and coming off a screen. Like, there's no schemes. Like, Phil's triangle offense doesn't translate anymore because kids don't grow up playing and schemes anymore. They don't grow up playing like the fundamentals pass five times before you shoot. Everybody wants to be a YouTube star. Everybody wants to be an Instagram star. Everybody's trying to get on Facebook and get all the tweets and all the follows. And so you got kids like, what is that, Zion Williams? He's 16 and in high school. Dude puts on a slam dunk contest in the middle of a game.
Because he's
that good. But I promise you, like, when you put him up against real competition, and Matt, I bet there's a reason we don't see clips of him playing defense, because I bet he can't. I bet he can't take a spot of three in transition, or I bet he can't take a spot of three in the corner, or run the pick and roll. I bet he can't do it, but I bet he can cross somebody over and then fly to the hoop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the NBA of today. You know, it's what it is.
And back to the you made a good point, Jazz, about first of all, Phil has taken the legs from under Jeff Hornacek in order for him to successfully coach and let the team play the way he wants them, and he's players spending all this money for aged players that are not even playing, and you're not playing to your team's strength, your players' strength.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are playing to their strength because Phil is forcing this triangle down their throat that is no one else in the league is playing. And when you want to force something, it's not going to get the results that you want. And that's what's happening with the Knicks. You know, the Knicks are not playing to their full to what they're able to do. You don't smother an athlete's talents in order to make yourself happy, say, yeah, this triangle is working because of me. I brought it back to life. Who does that?
Well, have you ever thought, and I'm going to ask you this seriously, have you ever thought that maybe Phil doesn't understand anything other than the triangle?
That's a good question.
You just blew my mind.
But I think Phil wants to be the man to just say it works because I can make it work. But you can't make players do something that they don't play.
I'm with Tony on that one. I think he understands other ways of winning, and I think he understands what, different styles. But I think what Tony just said is 100%. I think the triangle offense is his baby, and he's been so successful with it, and that's why he's named his name, that he wants to force it down somebody's – he wants to force it down your throat.
And you also got to realize, the one thing about – and I've always said this. I've said this at the job. I've said this many times, that the one thing about Phil, the one thing that he doesn't have, in this team that he had in every other team, he needs LeBron, the best player in the league, running the triangle. Doesn't have that. It's easy to win when you have two of the best players in the league on your team. It's easy to win. It's a science project. It's not working. But when he looks at his rings, when he look on all 10 fingers, he's like, yo, I got 9 of these rings with the triangle. It works. I got 9 rings to prove it. And when he flashes it, everybody says, you're right, Phil. You got 9 rings, dude. You're right. It's got to work. I got 9 rings off of this triangle. You telling me it don't work? I got rings to prove it.
And the other thing that Phil is, I mean, look at who he had. I mean, I'm gonna go to Steve Kerr. We brought up the Warriors. Steve Kerr was the point guard for those Bulls teams in the late 90s.
Absolutely.
What did Steve Kerr do? He was a spot-up three-shooter.
Absolutely.
But he ran the point. Derrick Rose is not a spot-up three-shooter. Derrick Rose is a scoring, slashing guard who plays off of his speed and athleticism.
Absolutely.
So you don't have a three-shooter.
Absolutely.
You got somebody in Carmelo who can score at will like MJ did. So there you go. You got him.
But
you
he's
don't
a
have
post-up
a
player, not a slasher. Different.
Who?
Carmelo. Carmelo's an ISO guy.
No, he can fit.
You don't do ISO in a triangle.
He can ISO and cut. He may not do it much anymore, but he's still got it in his tank if he needs it.
Okay.
I've seen him do it. Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying.
You've got an older Carmelo who's not as good as he used to be. We'll just leave
absolutely. It's not different.
Whose game has changed. Yeah, whose game has changed. And
absolutely.
You don't have Scottie Pippen.
Absolutely.
You don't have a three and D point forward in Scottie Pippen anymore, who actually ran the offense. So that way Michael could get his matchup and break
absolutely.
Down his matchup, and Steve Kerr could run around screens all day and find an open corner.
And who's the dirty guy? Because remember, with the first three-peat, there was Horace Grant. The second three-peat was Rodman. And the third three-peat, there was I'll forget. But who's the dirty guy on that team? Because you got to have a dirty guy.
That's the other part. It should have been Joakim Noah. That Joakim Noah fits that role perfectly. Like, 6 years ago.
Yeah. six years. Absolutely.
So.
Well, you know, guys.
Okay, I know we over. I know we over. You're right. Okay.
Hey, our sponsors don't mind. Hey, guys, we're official, by the way. We have sponsors. I heard them at the beginning of the show. We're official.
We're official, no doubt. No doubt. Official.
I can put that on my resume that I'm an official sports talk radio host.
You are a sports host, bruh. You are a sports host. Absolutely.
And they're gonna be like, what makes you official? We've never heard of you. I'm like, dog, we got sponsors, so
no,
I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, get in while the getting's good, baby.
Hey, I gotta get that certified check on my Twitter. I gotta get that blue check on my Twitter handle.
Hey, we tell the truth. Hey, we tell the truth, man. Look, if you don't like it, sorry. Like Miss Tony. Tell the truth, baby.
And Mr. Green.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll have our favorite Mr. Green calling soon. He'll be calling soon.
Yeah, no doubt.
6 weeks?
Yeah, no doubt. So, remember, we got free agency coming up starting Thursday. So we're going to have a lot of football to talk about, y'all. Word is bone.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. So take us out, Miss Tony.
I'll take you out, no problem. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram as Tony Trina Franklin. And on the radio, Tuesday through Friday, Thursday and Friday, let's chat with me and the wonderful Miss Alicia.
So Miss Tony, what's up with all the nasty talk? Mm-hmm. Can I get some nasty talk?
Oh. This is not safe for
that's
work people.
Show.
If you're under the age of 18, please mute your phones.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Hey, our sponsors don't like that. We got to give a little bit of disclaimer.
You missed a really good show not too long, 2 weeks ago, Jazz. A really good one.
Yeah, yo, you going to do it this Friday?
I have to see who our guests are.
Damn it.
Jazz,
I have to see, and I'll drop the show
Friday?
Link to you.
Call in on
Jazz,
that joint, man.
Friday?
Yo, I plan on being. I'm gonna take a little break and get in on that one, man. We need to.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure I got nothing
nasty.
Going on. You got two special guests right here.
We need to get nasty. Okay. We're in box, man.
This is not safe for work. NSFW, guys.
Oh my God.
Where can they find you, Louis?
They can find me at Twitter at LouisMac8. Keep the lookout. I'm trying to get with a couple buddies of mine to start breaking down some fantasy baseball drafts.
Yeah, man.
Up and comers who you should be looking at. So keep a lookout on Twitter. I'm going to be dropping those here in the next couple of weeks as spring training gets going and we start seeing some more injuries and signings and things
absolutely.
Like that. Get you ready to get the fantasy baseball season underway.
And by the way, Louis, is the WBC worth watching or
who?
Is the World Baseball Championship really worth watching?
It's fun. It's okay. I don't really know if you remembered watching Olympic baseball. It was kind of boring because the Americans always won because we have the best players.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But a lot of like Freddie Freeman of the Braves, he's technically got dual citizenship, so he's not playing for the United States. He's playing for Canada just to make it more fun. Like, you get a lot of guys. You get a guy. So it's fun. I would, if you like baseball and you want to check it out and see some of the young guys from across the world and some of the veterans playing for their home country, it's fun. A lot of young guys play in it, so it can be a lot of fun, real eye-opening. There's a dude in Japan who apparently can throw a 102-mile-an-hour fastball and hit a 500-foot home run. So,
damn.
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Oh, I'm glad to tune in for that one.
Yeah, there's MLB.
But not a lot of American players are going to be playing in it, though.
Yeah, a lot of your top name like MLB players don't play in it. They sit it out. So you see a lot of minor leaguers. You see a lot of college kids. I don't know if college kids are allowed to play in it anymore, but you see a lot of minor leaguers. So you get to see a lot of up and coming talent showcase.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll get you that guy's name. But there's MLB exec saying he's the best baseball player in the world right now.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
damn.
He's turning heads. So definitely tune into some Japanese. If you're interested in the future of the MLB, definitely tune in to USA. And also keep an eye on, like, the Latin American teams and Japan and, like, Canada, like, things like that, especially the Latin American teams, because that's where a lot of those flashy middle infielders who throw out the web gems constantly. Sorry, ESPN had to steal it. You know, that's where they come from a lot. So it's fun. I enjoy it. It's just, you know, if you can sit down and watch it and enjoy it for what it is, then, yeah, check it out.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have to check out a couple of games.
Let's see what you should do it, man.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I want to check it out a little bit. Yeah, so.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so
well, thank you, everyone, for joining us once again here on
absolutely.
The scoreboard. We'll be back in next
sorry,
Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Miss Tony, for sitting on New York all day.
No
she
worries.
All right. She good. She understands.
I'll be nicer next week.
No worries. That's the, you only go
no
to New
worries.
York to make money. That's the only reason why you go to New York. It's the best place to control your finances, so You know. That's like, plus they overpay.
And with that, we out.
Later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.